Hello and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 122. I'm your host, The Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is this week's special guest co-host from the Player One Podcast, CJ Chris Johnston.
Hey Chris, glad to be back on Power Pros.
My pleasure, glad to have you here. We've got plenty to talk about this week from the world of Nintendo, including some new game announcements and listener mail, but this week we're going to change things up. We're going to kick things off with our big topic, which is our discussion of the Nintendo Direct Mini that Nintendo unveiled just a short while ago.
By surprise. They took us all by surprise.
Yes, yes, they did. I mean, I was kind of expecting it was going to happen, but yeah, they just put out this morning and didn't really announce it. They're just like, hey, here it is. But I mean, people have been clamoring for it all week long because of the rumors. But yes, here it is. And even though it was only 15 minutes long, it was pretty much jam-packed with a whole bunch of information about Switch. We found out about a bunch of ports, some DLC, some exciting first-party announcements, and some nifty third-party reveals as well. But let's start off with the one brand new first-party game reveal, and that is Mario Tennis Aces. This is the familiar pick-up-and-play Mario Tennis by the folks at Camelot. This time, Mario and friends actually dress up in appropriate tennis attire, which, you know, looks especially comical on characters like Wario and Waluigi, but it's kind of a nice touch. Of course, it's got traditional courts as well as goofy Mario ones, like ones where the net is made up of pipes. But most importantly, it introduces, or rather reintroduces, the long-awaited inclusion of a story mode in a Mario Tennis game.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've had a true story mode in a Mario sports game, right?
Indeed. They said in the Nintendo Direct it's been since the Game Boy Advance days since they last had one, which is pretty funny because pretty much every time the series comes out with a new entry, people are like, why is there no RPG mode? We want an RPG mode like they had in the previous games. And now, finally, we are getting one, and it's about darn time.
Yeah.
So it's going to have different missions to accomplish. It's going to have boss battles. There was footage shown of, you know, Mario fighting against Petey Piranha. And it looks like, unlike some of the past sports games where you play as just sort of a generic custom avatar, you actually do play as Mario in this game's story mode.
Yeah, and I wonder, too, they reveal a little bit of information, but I'm sure there's much more to be revealed about this game. I wonder what role motion control might have in this game. Because the Joy-Cons do have that. And I was playing Wii Sports Club the other weekend with my daughter, and we were playing tennis. So when this announcement happened, I was like, oh, all right, so maybe we can play motion-controlled tennis one-on-one with this game.
Yeah, I kind of hope so. I hope they include it as an option. It, you know, would probably not be good if it were mandatory because, you know, when you're playing, you know, in handheld mode on a plane or something, that would be rough.
Very true.
But yeah, I think it's always great to include that as an option if they could. So yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, we are supposed to get an online service from Nintendo at some point.
That's right.
And you'd think that when they introduce that, they would need some kind of new title to come along with that. I wonder if this will be that title.
That's a good thought. It very well could be. You're probably right. They will want a marquee title to launch alongside that service. And yeah, this could be a very good one for that.
Certainly.
Yeah, they say the game is coming out in spring. And you know, who knows? They haven't really said when the online service will be going live. But you know, spring is a good guess. I mean, it was supposed to go live last fall. So
true.
If it happens in spring, that would not be out of the question at all.
Yeah, all we know is, you know, 2018 and... it's 2018 now, so where where is it?
Yep, could happen any day now.
Could be at any time, and this may not be the title that has online play, but I think it could fit rather nicely as, you know, Wii Sports Club had online play in that as well. So.
Well, I'm pretty sure this will have online play, but I think the question is whether it will, you know, sort of launch alongside Nintendo Switch Online or not, but
that's
I'm going to bet that it's going to be in there.
That's true.
The other interesting thing about the game is that it promises, quote, new wrinkles in gameplay that will challenge your ability to read an opponent's position and stroke to determine which shot will give you the advantage. I don't know what that means, but it certainly sounds like going to be some sort of interesting new gameplay twist that makes it not just more of the exact same Mario Tennis. So overall, this sounds like it's going to be a very robust, satisfying Mario Tennis title, unlike that last one that came out on Wii U. So I'm pretty much looking forward to this quite a bit.
Yeah, me too. Definitely.
All right, excellent. Another new game that they were talking about, of course, is the upcoming Kirby Star Allies, which Nintendo, of course, has talked about and shown before, but we got to get a new look at the game today. This looks beautiful and fun with traditional Kirby action and platforming. It seems to have a wide variety of levels, including fields, forests, beaches, ice stages, lava levels, mountains, caves, mansions, the works. And of course, it's got, you know, boss fights against, you know, traditional enemies like Meta Knight, as well as other new foes. And there's also this cool, unique stuff that builds upon the four-player team-up mechanic, so you can become what they call a friend train, or like go flying in the air together on a magic carpet, and it just all looks very, very cool and cute.
It really does. I'm really looking forward to playing this in co-op with my daughter.
Yeah, I'll bet.
We've been playing a bunch of other games, including Kirby games, co-op, and to have an entirely new game to play with her is going to be awesome. I'm really looking forward to this game, and we don't have to wait long, thankfully.
Yeah, that was the other thing. They finally gave us a release date. It is coming out on March 16th, so only about 2 months away.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, I mean, I would love to play this in four-player mode as well. I do not have any children to play it with, so, you know, my secret hope is that there will be some sort of online play, but I kind of doubt there will be, so I'll probably end up playing, you know, two players and then, you know, two other CPU-controlled partners or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder, I mean, this could be a game to launch an online service with as well. Who knows?
It could, but I mean, online co-op platforms are very, very rare. So
that's true.
I love it if it happens, but I'm not holding my breath.
That's a good point. No amiibo, though.
No, but I hope it's, I mean, do we know it's not compatible with the existing Kirby amiibo?
I don't know that they have said.
Yeah, I mean, they're out there. It would make sense if it did.
Well, that's but, true.
Yeah, there's no new amiibo. That's definitely true.
Yeah, no new amiibo in this direct at all. That was disappointing.
Yeah, I didn't really think there would be, but, you know, I always, you know, wish that there were.
Yeah.
There were some new Kirby abilities shown, however. There is the Kirby Artist ability, where he can make paintings that actually, you know, are used to attack enemies, as well as spider abilities, where he can wrap up enemies in webs. And then apparently, you know, when you're in multiplayer, you can combine powers, so you can have stuff like the icicle lance that they were showing in the direct, and an electric yo-yo, and be able to, you know, suplex your friend around the room. So it seems like there's lots of cool stuff that's going to be in this game.
Yeah, that ice lance looked awesome, and I love the little sketch of King DDD that they showed off with the sketching ability, and it went around smashing enemies. That was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just seems like a pretty nifty game all the way around.
Totally.
As far as other first-party announcements go, we said there were going to be some ports that we talked about, and one of those is Hyrule Warriors. Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition is coming to Nintendo Switch. It's going to have all the DLC and content of the Wii U and 3DS versions, so that means all the maps, all 29 characters, the fairy mode that was exclusive to the 3DS version, and presumably the ability to swap characters that was in the 3DS version as well.
Yeah, did you pick up the both previous versions?
I did not. I only picked up the Wii U version. I'd always wanted to get the 3DS version, but I never actually went ahead and got it.
Ah, now you get to experience it on Switch.
Yes. So, you know, on the one hand, you know, I kind of feel like Nintendo's sort of, you know, slapping me in the face for buying the Wii U version and paying for all the DLC, and now they're bringing out, oh, well, here's the ultimate version that has all that stuff, as well as new outfits for both Link and Zelda based on Breath of the Wild. But, you know, then on the other hand, it's like, well, I never had it in portable form before, so, you know, maybe I can find a reason to plunk down the money all over again and buy it, even though I was sort of all in with the Wii U version before. Huh. So what are your thoughts on, you know, this game coming out for a third time?
Oh, I'll be buying it for a third time. I did pick up the 3DS game and really enjoyed that as well. They have that new story with Linkle.
Oh, that's right.
And it's just such a fun game and highly replayable. I don't find it to be a game where I've forgotten how to play if I've dropped the game for 2 months and pick it back up again. So I'm looking forward to this. It's got a lot of replay value with the challenge maps that they have going.
Yeah, the retro-style challenge maps. Those can be pretty tough at times.
They really can be, yeah. And I loved the Wii U game. I loved the 3DS game. I'll buy this again just to continue playing it. It was a great game, and I'm glad they're doing it on Switch.
Well, as for me, you know, I'm still a little bit undecided. I would like to have it in portable form. But on the other hand, I've also still got Fire Emblem Warriors on my Switch, which came out not too long ago. I'm still neck deep in that. I haven't even finished the story mode, and there's still lots of DLC coming out for that game, too. Mm-hmm. So because of that, you know, I might hold off on Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition, at least, you know, initially when it comes out. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat with you on Fire Emblem. I have really enjoyed that game, and I'm looking forward to what they're going to do with it in DLC.
Mm-hmm. Yep, me too. Anyway, Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition is going to be coming out this spring, so we can look forward to it then. And then the other big port that Nintendo announced coming over from Wii U was Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze. And this game, you know, has one especially big new addition, and that is Funky Kong as a playable character.
Everybody's favorite Kong, right?
Yes. And boy, is he funky.
He's got that surfboard. He's doing loop-de-loops.
Yep. Yeah. Yes, he is. It's basically a beginner mode. He has all sorts of extra abilities the other Kongs do not. For one thing, he has 5 health points, when the others, I think, only have 3. Mm-hmm. But then he's got his double jump, his hover, an infinite rolling ability, an infinite underwater corkscrew, and apparently invulnerability to spikes, or at least the ones that are beneath him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he is quite the powerful Kong.
Definitely.
Of course, it has all the regular modes, too, that were in the original game. All the previous playable characters, Donkey Kong, Diddy, Dixie, and Cranky. So, what about this one? Are you as excited about this as you are Hyrule Warriors coming to Switch? Are you looking to buy this one all over again?
I think I'll pass on this one. I'm not really a Donkey Kong Country player.
Hmm.
And I recognize that Tropical Freeze is a very good platformer, but I don't think I need this one portably, and I'd much rather have Hyrule Warriors, so I'm going to skip this one. What about you?
Uh-huh. Well, as for me personally, I never actually bought this one on Wii U. It was like one of the biggest missing holes in my Wii U library.
Huh.
So I'm glad to finally have the chance to buy it and actually play through it. So there's a good chance I'm going to get this. I mean, I'm not a big fan of all these ports at all. I'd rather have brand new games. But you know, if they're going to do one, at least it's a game that I personally don't own, so I can feel good about adding it to my library.
Yep.
I have to say, it is kind of funny that every time they re-release one of these Donkey Kong Country games, they feel the need to put in some easier beginner mode, because they did the same thing when Donkey Kong Country Returns came out on the Nintendo 3DS. So, you know, I'm kind of surprised they don't just put this stuff all in at the beginning and instead feel the need to add it to these re-released versions.
I wonder if it's like one of those things that they're considering doing at the very end of development and it just never gets completed in time for the original one.
I suppose it could be. Or maybe it's just in response to feedback of the original game coming out and people are like, oh, this game is great, but it's so frustrating. Because I have heard that's that true. A lot about this title.
Yeah, yeah.
However, you know, one thing that would have made it even better is if this had been like a compilation that bundled both Donkey Kong Country Returns and Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze. Because, you know, it's nice having Tropical Freeze on Switch, but, you know, having DKC Returns and, like, you know, having it with HD graphics and all that jazz, that would have been, like, a really incredible package. So it's kind of too bad they didn't go that route.
Yeah, I agree. Although maybe it is because they re-released that one on 3DS, they felt they didn't need to. I don't know.
It could be. Or it could be because, you know, it's already in HD on Wii U and it would have taken just, you know, effort that wouldn't have been worth it to make that graphical leap from Wii to Switch.
Mm.
Who knows? At any rate, the game comes out on May 4th, so everybody can get ready to get your funk on then. In addition to these full games that are going to be coming out in the coming months, Nintendo also announced a whole bunch of DLC additions to existing titles. One of those is to Super Mario Odyssey, and it comes out next month in February, and that's apparently not paid DLC. It's just a free add-on that adds a new competitive online mode to the game where you sort of play hide-and-seek with balloons. Luigi shows up after you've had the credits roll in the game, and you can talk to him, and he will let you hide balloons or find balloons other players have hidden. It's pretty interesting looking.
Yeah, I knew that they were going to do DLC for this game, right? I mean,
I didn't really think they were. I'm kind of surprised, but I'm glad they did.
I thought Luigi not being in the game was a huge a mission, and I felt like that was
a
big hint that there was gonna be something, right? Either he was gonna be a playable character in some DLC or some kind of thing like that.
Yeah, he totally should be.
Yeah, I think so too. This mode is interesting. You know, I'm not the type of player that really has gotten into the Koopa races in Mario Odyssey. Like, I'm just...
yeah.
I watch other people do those in crazy times, and I just...
Yeah, I always get through those, like, by the skin of my teeth.
Yeah,
At least on the hard challenge mode.
I am definitely not good at those, so I doubt I'll be playing much of this. But I do think it's a very cool addition to people... for people who really get into that stuff.
I'm looking forward to trying it out. You know, I'm sure there are going to be some people that are really good, and it's going to be like playing those super hard levels in Mario Maker where it's like, how did they ever do this? How did they ever complete this and, you know, upload this challenge? But, you know, there are probably going to be players of other skill levels, you know, hiding these balloons as well.
Yeah.
And those maybe I'll be able to enjoy at a more relaxed pace. So, you know, I'm interested in checking it out.
Yeah, that's a big question. How are they going to gauge how difficult these challenges are? Or are you just going to be choosing from a list where you might stumble upon like a really, really difficult one or multiple really difficult ones in a row?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, they did show that there was some sort of list that you chose from, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if it has some sort of built-in metric where it figures it out and there's like a star rating next to the contest or something like that. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out.
For sure.
Of course, in addition to this Luigi's Balloon World mode, there are also new outfits. There is a knight outfit for Mario, a musician outfit for Mario, and also his outfit from Super Mario Sunshine, complete with sunglasses.
That knight outfit is awesome.
The knight outfit is pretty interesting. It kind of looks like something he stole from Arthur from Ghouls and Ghosts.
It does. It really does. And it fits nicely on one particular level of Mario Odyssey.
Yes, yes. They showed that in the screenshot, so you know, if you haven't got to that point, it was sort of a big spoiler. Mm. But hopefully by now everybody has. But yeah, it's a great fit for that.
Yeah.
The Sunshine outfit, you know, I thought was kind of a big omission in the costume list that they didn't include originally, so I'm glad to see that in there. Although when I see him in screenshots with the sunglasses over his eyes, I do kind of think, wow, it's Mario starring in the new Weekend at Bernie's or something.
Yeah. Or I saw somebody make a crack about how he's hosting a new YouTube channel or some kind of thing like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, it's cool that they're going to be doing a free update. I'm certainly looking forward to it, and it's very much welcome.
Absolutely. Me too.
Of course, there is also DLC on the way for Pokken Tournament DX. They are calling it the Battle Pack DLC. It is arriving in two waves. The first wave is on January 31st, and that includes Aegislash as a new playable character, and also Mega Rayquaza and Mimikyu as assist characters. And then Wave 2 comes on March 23rd with Blastoise as a playable character, and assist characters in the forms of Mew and Celebi.
Sadly, I skipped Pokken Tournament, and I'm not really a fighting game person, so... This kind of went right over my head. How about you?
I didn't pick up the DX version of Pokken Tournament either. I am kind of glad to see there is new content, but it doesn't really seem like there's a whole lot here. Only two new playable characters, and the price for it is kind of steep as well. It's $14.99, and you know, that seems fairly high, I would say. I mean, I think that's more than what they were charging for, you know, like the characters in Smash Brothers.
Yeah, I think they said something about new character customizations as well. I wonder if those are things that you have to then buy in in-game currency or if you're just given those if you bought the pass.
Well, it's true. There are new avatar costume items for dressing up your character. But even so, I still feel like $15
is
kind of steep.
Yeah.
However, I do think that Blastoise is a fantastic inclusion as a playable character. I mean, it kind of seemed like, you know, he's, you know, one of the major Pokemon from Generation 1. It's like, why wasn't he there to begin with? So I'm glad to see him being tossed into the mix.
Completely.
Aegislash, you know, not one of my favorites or anything, but I mean, he's a giant sword, so it makes sense too, I guess.
Yeah.
Still, you know, I would have felt that having, you know, more playable characters, you know, four characters, six characters, something like that would have seemed a lot more reasonable. But, you know, if you are a fan of Pokken Tournament DX, I guess it's up to you to decide whether it is worth the cash.
Got
to
catch it all, right?
Yep, most people do. The other game that had a DLC announcement was Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle. And that revealed that Donkey Kong is now going to be included as a playable character. He's going to have his own new world and his own new storyline, and this will be included either as part of the season pass or as a separate DLC purchase. What'd you think of this?
I like it. I have purchased the season pass for Mario plus Rabbids.
Cool.
My daughter and I have been working through some of the co-op missions, and the DLC has more co-op missions, so I bought it for that
excellent
reason. And I'm looking forward to this. You know, more levels to this game is definitely welcome. I thought this was one of the surprises of 2017 for me, and I've really enjoyed playing it. So more content for this game is very much welcome.
Awesome. Glad to hear it. One of my favorite things about the game was Rabid Kong, so more DK can only be a good thing, IMO. It's coming out in spring, so hopefully you won't have too much longer to wait before Donkey Kong joins the fun in that game.
Indeed.
The Nintendo Direct Mini also had a whole bunch of third-party announcements, and the one that I am most excited about is that Ease 8, Lacrimosa of Dana, is coming out to the Nintendo Switch. Ease, of course, is the fabled action RPG series. It's been around for ages, but it hasn't been on Nintendo systems in a long, long time. So I am very happy to see a Nihon Falcom game once again on a Nintendo platform.
Yeah, the last time I played an Ease game was on Virtual Console, Ease 1 and 2.
Uh-huh.
And that was my first exposure to that, and I've not played one since. And I think this looks great, and I did not pick it up when it was released on other platforms, and I'm very glad to see that it is being brought to Switch.
Yeah, me too, me too. I mean, it is a full-blown 3D action RPG. It's got multiple playable characters. You know, the hero, Adel Kristen, has this habit of getting shipwrecked on islands, and of course that's what's happened once again. So he's trying to survive on the island, team up with other characters, build up his base, and engage in crab battles. The crab battles, of course, are very exciting.
They looked it from the bit of footage there. That was great.
Yep, yep. I did not pick it up on other systems either, although I actually intended to. You know, I was actually going to get it on PS4 when it came out, but for whatever reason, I just never got around to it. So it's very fortuitous that I held off so I can pick it up on Switch instead. The one thing I have heard about this game, though, is that the translation in the original English version was kind of meh, so I'm hoping that they're going to go in and clean that up and fix up some of the inconsistencies and then give us sort of the ultimate version of Ease 8 that we all deserve.
Yeah, I'm not sure if the PS4 version has already been patched, but I would imagine from the get-go we're going to get the better translation on Switch.
That's right. The patch was on the way. I don't know either if it's actually been released or not, but yeah, we shouldn't have to deal with those issues and should just get the improved version from the get-go.
Yeah.
But for me, what makes it really exciting is the prospect that maybe this means that other Nihon Falcom titles are going to be on the way. I'm a big fan of their Trails series that's published by Xseed, and if this means that they're going to decide to maybe bring that over or bring other series over, that is, you know, even more exciting than the prospect of playing Ease again on Switch. So I really like, you know, where this is going, and definitely looking forward to the game and possibly what else it means.
Me too. I hope all of this stuff means that more games are coming to Switch.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, this game is coming out in the summer. But before then, there is you know, a game that a lot of people have been wanting to see on Nintendo systems as well coming out. It is Dark Souls Remastered, the hard-as-nails action RPG finally arriving on Nintendo systems on May 25th. I have very little experience with the Dark Souls series. What about you, CJ? What do you think about this one?
I think this is a great announcement.
Oh, me too.
Only got into From Software's games with Bloodborne.
Oh, okay.
That was the first time I really dipped my toe in that water.
The one released by Sony?
Yes, and I quite enjoyed it. So I have been looking for a reason to go back and play the Dark Souls games, which I had not had any experience with, and this is perfect. I think, you know, it's hard for me to get time to play games on the PS4, mainly because it's in a separate room away from the family room, and Dark Souls being a game that I can't really play in front of my daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Having it on a private screen that I can just play on the couch while she's in the room watching Dora the Explorer or doing something else is absolutely perfect.
That does sound convenient.
Yes.
Yeah, my experience with Dark Souls is very minimal. I think I was at an E3 one year, and I think Dark Souls 2, or maybe it was some expansion pack, was coming out, and I had never played the game before, but there was a demo station open. They're like, here, you should check this out. And so I, like, you know, start playing the game, and I walk up to the first enemy. I'm like, okay, I've kind of heard this game is hard. I'm going to stay on the defensive, and I put up my shield or, you know, whatever you can do to defend in the game. Mm-hmm. And then the enemy attacked me, and he killed me, like, in one hit, even though I was defending. Like, what the heck? How did, you know, did I do something wrong? Did I have to time my defense? So, you know, I reload, I try it again, and the exact same thing happens. So all I can say is that, yes, the series is really hard. Yes, I totally suck at it. But it would be nice to give it another try and at least get past the first enemy once this game comes out on Switch.
Yeah, I think the shield only was introduced in Dark Souls 2. But
okay. There was definitely some defense mechanic, and I was definitely trying to use it, but it was not working for whatever reason.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those games where your timing matters and distance matters, and being able to parry or dodge at exactly the right moment matters a whole lot, even right at the very beginning of the game. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think I'll be trying that out on the Switch. It's one of those games where when these first started gaining popularity, you know, I heard they were really hard, and I just didn't want to play a game that didn't respect my time. And, yeah, you know, having played Bloodborne and gotten a taste of the series through that, I'm much more interested in going back and trying it. And I think on a system where you can just, if you get frustrated with it, you can just sleep it and try again, is perfect.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And, you know, hopefully I can get my revenge for that ill-fated demonstration at E3 once the game is released in just a couple of months.
There you go.
Another third-party title on the way that I'm very much looking forward to is The World Ends With You Final Remix. I loved The World Ends With You when it came out on the Nintendo DS. It's a contemporary action RPG set in modern Shinjuku, in which the protagonist Niku teams up with a variety of partners to use pins and fashion to overcome the bad guys or be erased from existence. CJ, did you play this one originally? And if so, what do you think about it coming to Switch?
I did not play this one originally. Passed me by.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I picked it up on clearance at Target for like $7, so I do have it. Mm-hmm. I just haven't played it. But I have heard very good things about it and always wanted to get time around to playing it, but I haven't yet. What's the deal with the rhythm-based gameplay that they kind of showed off? They had like some directionals that it looked like you had to press in time with music. Is that the case?
Well, nothing in time with music that I can recall, but yeah, it had a very unique and bizarre interface. And one of the things that was really cool about the original DS game is that there were two characters fighting, one on the top screen, one on the bottom screen, and the bottom screen character you'd control by using the stylus and like making slashing motions and things like that. And then on the top screen, you would usually just use the control pad. And I think maybe what you were seeing was, you know, inputting some of those controller directions that you would do, you know, with the directional pad. So now, from what they showed of the footage of this new version of Final Remix, it looks like both characters are fighting on the same screen simultaneously, obviously, since there is no second screen. So, you know, I'm very curious how that all is going to work. You know, the dual screen combat was one of the most unique things about the game. And they mentioned that it does have both touchscreen controls or Joy-Con controls. So it's definitely going to be a different experience, but it still sounds like it's going to be, you know, unique and different and interesting. So, yeah, I mean, it sort of all comes together with a really unique world setting and interesting characters and a great story. And, you know, just gameplay that's not like anything else out there. So, you know, even though, you know, it's a game I've played before, I'm totally looking forward to playing it again when it comes out on Switch.
Yeah, this is the perfect kind of game to bring to Switch, where it had, you know, a fan base on DS and, or at least a small and loyal fan base. And I think,
yeah, it's definitely the definition of like a cult hit.
Yeah. Remastering it or like re-envisioning it for Switch now at a time when, you know, a lot of people are just getting the system, I think is a really smart move.
Yeah, I hope that it really pays off and people pay attention and pick it up. You know, it's got new HD graphics, it's got a new epilogue scenario, and that's on top of all the other great stuff I was already saying about it. Coming out sometime in 2018, we're not sure when, But yeah, I definitely recommend that action RPG fans look forward to it. Another third-party title on the way, SNK Heroines Tag Team Frenzy. This is a 2D fighting game with 3D graphics featuring all-female 2-on-2 tag team battles. It will include 14 characters from SNK's various series, and pretty much all of them have already appeared in King of Fighters, I'm willing to guess. But it includes folks like Yuri, Mai Shiranui, Leona, Kula, and Athena.
Yeah, this game looks great. Like, this is a real surprise, actually.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere, and it's looking pretty impressive, yeah.
It really is. And as someone who really enjoyed the Gals Fighter game on the Neo Geo Pocket Color, I really appreciate...
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
I appreciate them doing basically the same kind of thing, but on a home console.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Neo Geo Pocket had some fantastic 8-bit fighting games on it, and yeah, this really is a throwback to that. Apparently you can switch your playable character on the fly, but the non-active character seems to be like hanging out in the background, like dancing around, maybe powering up with items. And there's a lot of other interesting things going on in this game as well. Like, they promise it'll have, you know, simple one button special moves, which I rather hope is optional, that you can do, you know, traditional controls or, you know, easy mode controls if that's what you want.
Yeah.
But then they also say that you have to use this specific finisher, the Dream Finish move, to beat your opponent. So, you know, that's another twist that is different from other fighting games that are out there.
Yeah, and I like that it doesn't seem like the graphics are that fan servicey. I mean, it's a little bit of that, but it seems tasteful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this seems like a game that I could play, and it wouldn't matter if my daughter saw it or even played it.
No. I mean, from what they showed, it doesn't seem that way at all. It is not Sunrun Kagura. And the graphics look pretty darn sharp as well. It's a nice-looking game, it seems.
Absolutely. Is this a Switch exclusive?
No, I believe it's coming out on PS4 as well.
Okay.
And there's even a special Diamond Dream Edition for both platforms that includes an art book, a 2-disc soundtrack, a lapel pin set of all 14 characters, a shirt, a towel, a wristband, and even a hat. The price is $120 for that, so they are clearly going all out on this one.
Yeah, it looks great.
The game also has outfit customization for the different characters, as well as a 4-player mode, which seems pretty cool. That's something that I really like in these tag team fighting games, where you can team up with another player that'll also be on your team. Hopefully you can do just 2 human players against 2 CPU players, too, because that would be a nice inclusion.
I agree. That'd be great.
Anyway, the game is coming out in summer. We can look forward to playing it then. Also shown on the Nintendo Direct was a title we had seen before, that being Payday 2. It is the co-op 4-player online action shooter heist game. We found out that there is a temporarily exclusive new character coming to the Switch version, and the game comes out pretty soon on February 27th.
Yeah, I wish I knew more about this game. I think it was free on Steam at one point, and I do have it in my library, but I have not played it. I do like that more shooters are coming to Switch, and this seems like it could be cool. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really seem like my type of game, but I do think it's the type of game that we need to have more of on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I assume it's going to be M-rated, and it's not necessarily for the Mario Odyssey audience at all. But that's one of the things that I really like about, this whole Nintendo Direct mini presentation, was that, I came out of it thinking, boy, this really reminds me of some of the old days of Nintendo, like the NES days and the Super NES days, where there is just this great diversity of third-party support. It's not just this, sameness, which was sort of what tended to happen with the Wii and the GameCube. And, there's just a lot of cool stuff coming on the way. It doesn't all need to be, for every player, but there's just a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, I agree. And I think they set the tone early with Skyrim. Like, when we saw that first teaser video and that this was going to have Skyrim, it's like, oh, it's going to have, more adult games or more mature content on it. And having Doom 2016 and then Payday 2 is perfect. And I assume Wolfenstein 2 will show up sometime in 2018 as well. And yeah, mm-hmm. It's great to have that content alongside things like Mario Tennis Aces.
Yep, absolutely. The other two games that were included in the Nintendo Direct were Fae, which is this ethereal, naturalistic 3D platformer from Electronic Arts. You run, climb, and glide through these forests and other similar environments, and you use your communication abilities to talk with plants and animals, and you'll use that to proceed through the game, coming out on February 16th. And then there is this retro sprite-based 2D action platformer called Celeste coming out, where you rely on your wall-climbing abilities and air-dashing maneuvers to go through these hazard-filled levels. You have to negotiate spikes and moving platforms and collapsing platforms and other stuff of that nature to be able to survive. It is coming out on January 25th. What do you think about these two?
I'm interested in both of these, actually. I hadn't really been following Fae all that much, but it looks really great.
Yeah, I agree.
And Celeste, Matt Thorson is the developer on this, and he's just a fantastic game designer. He worked on Towerfall before this, people might remember, which I think is still coming to Switch. It was announced a year ago or so.
Yeah, I played that one.
It's a fantastic little co-op versus game. But Celeste looks great, and Matt had done some of the more challenging Super Mario Maker levels that I've ever played. Back on the Wii U. He's a fantastic game designer, and I can't wait to play Celeste. This looks great, and I really appreciate that he added the assist mode stuff in there as well, which
That's
allows
right.
you to slow down the character movement. And I forget what the other thing is, but
you can become invincible. Apparently, that seems like the ultimate thing. If you need some assistance, is to make your character invincible.
Invincible, yeah.
But yeah, that stuff is in there. If the game is just so frustrating that you're gonna pull your hair out and throw your Switch across the room, you can just put on these assist abilities and save your blood pressure a little bit, I guess.
I really appreciate that kind of stuff because I am not the type of player that gets into the very hardcore precision-based platformers like Super Meat Boy. So I am going to appreciate the assist mode, I'm sure.
Well, I have no plans to use those abilities, but you never know. You never know. If it gets too frustrating, maybe I will have to resort to them. But, you know, I didn't know this game was on the way. Now I do. It looks really cool, and I'm totally looking forward to it. It's coming out in just a couple of weeks, and that is great.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things from people who have played it, so I'm very much looking forward to it.
So yeah, for a 15-minute Nintendo Direct Mini, I'd say there was a pretty good amount of stuff in there. You know, there were no big megaton announcements, but then again, I didn't really expect any. You know, they were just coming off of the holidays. They're just sort of saying, okay, maybe you're a new Switch owner, here's what you can look forward to in the first part of the year. But yeah, I think those megaton announcements are going to be saved for a little bit further down the road. But yeah, there was a pretty good amount of stuff. What was your overall feeling of this presentation?
Yeah, I thought it was a really good Direct. I thought if you aren't into ports, then maybe I could see this being disappointing because there were certainly a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like this lays out the groundwork for the first quarter or so of the year, first half of the year pretty well. And there are only a couple things that I thought were really missing. You know, nothing on Project Octopath Traveler. Nothing.
Yeah, that was the one that stood out to me. I was kind of figuring that was going to be a first half of 2018 game.
Yeah.
But yeah, they didn't talk about that one at all.
Yeah, nothing on the Yoshi game as well, which, you know, they showed off quite a bit at the E3 presentation.
True, but you know they've always just said that was sometime in 2018, so I kind of figured it was going to be maybe a later half of the year release. So I'm not too surprised about that one, really.
Yeah, yeah. And then we have Fire Emblem, which they said was coming that we've heard nothing about yet either. Which I didn't really expect that we would hear anything on that, but it is allegedly coming out sometime this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe so. But yeah, there's plenty of time to talk about those. In the meantime, looks like we're going to have plenty of stuff to play, even if some of it is ports.
I am surprised, though, that there was that rumor that Burnout Paradise was coming to Switch, and this felt like a Direct where that would have fit in, because they're talking about ports, and that would be a port, but nothing yet, so maybe later.
Perhaps so, perhaps so. All right, this seems like a good place to take an intermission, so let's do that, and then we'll come back and discuss some of the other stuff that happened recently that was not on the Nintendo Direct.
Thank you.
All right, we are back, and we are ready to discuss the other things that have been going on in the world of Nintendo this week. First of all, CJ, I am pleased to tell you that I finally got my hands and my tongue on the Super Mario cereal.
You are very lucky. I have not yet been able to find a box, and I've been looking.
Well, I have not been able to personally find a box either, so I give a big thanks out to Charlie Zard, who I assume is a listener of the show. At any rate, he's a follower on Twitter, and he was able to hook me up with a box, and I was able to finally try it out, as well as, of course, give the Amiibo functionality a spin.
And what is your verdict?
Well, this is, you know, sort of a fruity, oat-based, star-shaped cereal with marshmallows vaguely in the shapes of Mario items. You know, I think there's a 1-Up mushroom, there's a question mark block, and there's some other red and white thing that might be a super mushroom, or maybe it's a fire flower. It's really hard to tell. Anyway, as far as the taste goes, you know, it's kind of just okay, I have to admit. You know, it's sort of like a fruity Lucky Charms, but maybe not quite as sweet. I did like the taste of the marshmallows. You know, I don't really eat, you know, marshmallow cereal, and probably haven't had it in like 20 years or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, that part was pretty good. But the fruity oat cereal part was just a little bit bland. Hmm. Still, I'm glad that I was able to try it out. And as for the Amiibo functionality, it's definitely funny to, you know, see them in Mario Odyssey talking about a delicious Amiibo. And, you know, didn't really do anything special in the game. Doesn't give you a new outfit or anything.
Right.
But, you know, it does give you that message, as well as allowing you to, you know, do, you know, the other generic Amiibo functions, such as getting hints in the various levels. I also used it in Breath of the Wild, and, you know, I think it just made some food items fall out of the sky. But then again, most Amiibo make food items fall out of the sky in that game. So I don't think that was anything special either. Anyway, you know, it's certainly not worth paying like the crazy prices that, you know, people are asking for on eBay. They're like, you know, at least $15 a box. Some people sell them for like $30 a box. It's crazy. So don't do that for the taste. Definitely don't do that for the taste. But
yeah, if I run into it while I'm shopping, then I'll pick it up. Otherwise, I don't feel like I'm missing out.
Yeah, you're really not. I mean, it's all right, but it is not worth moving heaven and earth to try to track this stuff down. But again, I'm very appreciative for the opportunity to try it out, and thanks again, Charlie Zard. Moving along to some new game news, stuff that did not happen on the Nintendo Direct, we found out that Chicken Wiggle Rehatched may be heading to the Nintendo Switch. Now, I forget, CJ, did you ever pick up Chicken Wiggle when it came out on the 3DS?
I did. It was on sale for like a 2-week period, and I decided to pick it up.
Oh, yeah. That's where I remember talking about that now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't play too much of it because I just haven't been playing my 3DS a whole lot. So I'm kind of happy to hear about this news.
Well, it's not a done deal yet. Jules Watson, the head of Atui, is thinking of perhaps bringing it to Kickstarter to bring an HD version of the game out to Switch. And, you know, even if that happens, you know, there's no guarantee that then the Kickstarter would actually be funded.
Right.
But, you know, I guess the 3DS version really underperformed. And, you know, for me personally, I really like the game. I would love to see it get to a bigger audience. I would love to see it get a second chance. But, you know, I can kind of see where he's coming from with wanting, you know, some people to, you know, put their money where their mouth is, you know, and guarantee they're going to pay for it by doing so via Kickstarter. It is, you know, sort of, you know, a tough proposition. You know, do people want to do that for a port of an existing game? I don't know, but I do hope it happens because it's a cool game. It's an underappreciated puzzle platformer. And another thing that would be really neat is that the level editor would be cross-platform if it happens. So if you have the 3DS version, you could play new levels made on Switch. And if you're a Switch owner, you could already have access to all the levels that are out there from 3DS owners. So I, for one, really hope it happens.
Yeah, I wonder if he does a Kickstarter for the game, if it'll include platforms other than Switch as well. You know, maybe PC or another console.
It didn't sound like that was going to happen, but I suppose it's possible.
Yeah, then it's kind of weird. Like, why would you ask if you should do a Kickstarter? Like, well, why should you even do a Kickstarter? Why not just do the port? And
I guess I'm just feeling really burned about how the 3DS version did. I mean, I tried to do my part here,
yeah,
and let people know that it's a fun little game. But
yeah, I don't think it definitely wasn't that it was a bad game or anything. I think it was more that attention was just so much on the Switch and not on the 3DS at all.
Exactly.
At that time, the timing was very bad for that release.
Yeah, I think it pretty much comes down to that. But yeah, I think it is a very deserving game, and I do hope that that comes to fruition.
I also hope they do it, Kickstarter or no. I hope they do it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I would definitely agree on that point as well. On the other hand, we do know for certain that the game Old Man's Journey is coming out to Switch. This is a game from Broken Rules, the creators of And Yet It Moves, which is one of my favorite games that was ever released on WiiWare. And I don't know a whole lot about this game, but it is apparently literally an old man's journey. It's this 2D side-scrolling. It appears to be some sort of adventure title where you are exploring hills and fields and waterfalls. We see this old bearded guy in like a hot air balloon and on a boat. And in the trailer, it talks about how it's sort of his last chance to make amends. And I honestly have no idea of what the game is all about beyond what was in that trailer, but it certainly seems intriguing.
Yeah, I saw a demo of this game at Day of the Devs, GDC, like a year or two ago, and it looks really interesting.
It's got a great look to it.
Yeah, and I think it's on mobile as well.
It just out on other platforms, for sure.
Yeah, it it looks interesting. Hopefully it's released soon, and I don't know.
Yeah, I'm very curious about it. I would love to give it a spin. Looks very, very intriguing.
Yeah.
And some other cool games that are on the way are new Arcade Archives titles that are coming to Switch. Some new stuff from Irem. We have found out that Yujuden, which is a top-down fantasy shooter arcade game, is going to be on the way. The classic Moon Patrol from 1982, which is a side-scrolling action shooter, is on the way. And, most exciting for me, we are getting the arcade version of Kid Nicky, finally.
Yes. That's exciting. I didn't know the Moon Patrol was an Irem game. I didn't realize that.
Thinking about it, I probably didn't either. But
but I'm happy that it's coming out.
Yes, exactly. Me too.
Because I loved that game back in the arcade. Loved it.
I probably didn't play it much myself, but certainly has the reputation of being a classic. But yeah, Kid Nicky, Radical Ninja with his crazy spinning sword and going up against characters like the Green Grub and Death Breath. And I love that game on the NES. I don't know if I've ever actually played the arcade game that inspired it, but I will absolutely be buying this when it comes out on Switch.
Yeah, I've never played the arcade version either, but I love that Hamster is doing these more obscure arcade titles as part of the Arcade Archives collection. It's fantastic that they just dig into coin-op history like this. This is fantastic. And they always do a pretty great job.
I mean, I think they could do some more bells and whistles, and I really would like a more permanent save state feature, because if you do a save state and then you die and go back to the title screen, I think it just wipes out your save state, which just seems kind of brutal and punishing and not very nice. It keeps it more true to the original, so you can't exploit it, I suppose, but still, sometimes it's nice to have those save states in these classic games,
for sure.
But yeah, Irem is kind of a weird company, and a lot of their games have not been available in any form, and some of them have been like taken down. Like, I think there were some Irem titles that were removed from Virtual Console. None of these. It was just their console games. But yeah, so it's really great to see this stuff getting a second chance, and I'm hoping this means that down the road we'll also get Kung Fu Master, the inspiration for the NES Kung Fu as well.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Yep. Let's cross our fingers for that one. Okay then, let's move along and answer some listener mail. This first one comes from listener Jeffrey Skull, and he writes, I've noticed a trend that I find disturbing and was curious what your thoughts on the matter are. In all other forms of art, the old stuff is considered sacred, and all new works are very cautiously added to best of lists. I find the exact opposite to be true in video games. Every new iteration in a series is proclaimed to either be the best or a disappointment. I'm asking because I highly respect your voice in the world of criticism, and also noticed that your section avoided this in Nintendo Power by not putting numbers on Virtual Console releases. What are your thoughts?
I think it's different in video games because gameplay and control and interface changes so rapidly, right? Like recommending an old work to somebody, if you're recommending an old movie, you don't have that hurdle. Whereas, you know, if I recommend an old game to somebody who's used to only playing new games, they may not be able to appreciate it quite as much.
I see what you're saying. I think I would probably agree, but I think the way I would phrase it is, you know, video games are very, very technology dependent. That's not really as true with, you know, movies or TV shows or music.
True.
Plus, video games are, you know, a very young medium, and perhaps the caretakers, you know, haven't matured as much as they have in other mediums. But yeah, the technology thing, I think, is a big part of that.
Yeah, I do feel like games, especially at release, I agree with his point about new iterations proclaimed to either be the best or a disappointment. I do think that's true. And I do think, you know, over time, opinions on new games tend to shift, right?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of bandwagon jumping. You know, I remember the one I always like to bring up is Twilight Princess, where when that came out, you know, everybody loved it and thought it was amazing. And people were very upset I did not give it a perfect 10. And then since then, it's like the opinion on that game has like totally gone downhill, gone the other way.
Yeah.
And if I say that it's one of my favorite Zelda games, people look at me like, you know, I have three heads.
I think that's something just unique to video games. I don't really see that happening so much with other forms of media.
Yeah. And it is weird, and I don't get it, and I don't really have an explanation for it. But, you know, for me personally, you know, I don't place a lot of faith necessarily in other, you know, top 100 best of lists or anything like that. But I do have one that I sort of, you know, have on my computer that I always keep track of. But my personal policy is I don't ever add anything to that list until it's at least a year old. I will not consider adding it on there until it's been out a while. I've been able to play it. It's been really able to sort of percolate in my mind and, you know, see how it holds up, you know, over a longer period. You know, maybe even a year isn't long enough, but that's how long I wait. So, you know, I'm sure that I'll be adding Breath of the Wild and Super Mario Odyssey to this list eventually, but, you know, I'm not going to do that until those games are at least a year old. So for Breath of the Wild, actually, it's only a couple months off. But yeah, it's very easy to get excited about something fresh and flashy and new that you haven't played a zillion times before. But I, for one, advocate outlets wait a while before adding a game to their list, so it maintains a sense of authority and credibility.
Yeah, I agree with that. And going back to the point that video games are very technology-based, I think you see that in any sort of technology reviews, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where something can be proclaimed to be the best one day, and then 6 months later, it's usurped by something else, right?
I guess that's true.
Similar with video games, I think.
Although for me, it's like, you know, once a great game, always a great game. At least, you know, if it passes this year test, that's how I tend to, you know, think of it anyway. As for his question about Nintendo Power and not putting numbers on virtual console releases, yes, that is exactly why we did it. You know, we just didn't think it was necessarily fair to compare these classic 20-year-old games to the current stuff. And it's like, okay, if you give an 8 out of 10 to Castlevania, is that the same as an 8 out of 10 to, you know, New Super Mario Brothers or something like that?
Right.
And in a way, I mean, for me personally, I could probably be like, yes, you know, I love this classic game and I think it is every bit as good as New Super Mario Brothers. But, you know, I don't think everybody else would see it that way. I don't think my colleagues necessarily saw it that way. And so, yeah, we just figured it was best to do a separate kind of rating scale for those games and, you know, sort of avoid that direct comparison. So, yep, that's how that worked out.
Okay.
Our next letter comes from Sam Connor, and he writes, I remember reading in Nintendo Power years ago that you were able to play the Mega Man Legends 3 prototype version. I recently read your interview with GamesRadar regarding the game. You mentioned you unlocked a password but didn't get the chance to enter it. Any speculation on what it would have done? So obviously, this one is very much aimed at me. I don't think you will be able to add too much to this one, CJ. Maybe
no.
I'm wrong.
No.
But yes, the fabled Mega Man Legends 3 prototype version that I was fortunate enough to play right before Capcom canceled it. I did unlock some password, and no, I have absolutely no idea what it does. There was a debug mode in the game where you could sort of just, you know, run around and, you know, sort of free play and do whatever, and you could adjust various things. And I suspect it would have done something there, you know, maybe unlocked some sort of new feature, but as to what it was, I couldn't even really begin to guess. So, sorry, I have no further light to shed on that matter.
My claim to fame is that I played the N64 version of Mother 3 back at a Space World. Oh, wow. World. Yeah.
Well, I've certainly never played that one. So.
That's my only claim to video game fame in playing unreleased versions of stuff.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Was it awesome?
It was, yeah.
Was it the best thing ever?
Yeah. From what I remember, which isn't much, there was like a minecart section.
Ooh.
And that's all I remember.
Okay. All right, our last letter comes from Chad Ackerman, and he writes, just finished listening to episode 121 and I wanted to share a few of my 2018 Switch wishes. The number one thing I'm dreaming of is a collector's edition release of the Mother Trilogy, complete with scratch and sniff guidebooks for each of the games, soundtracks, and a host of related character amiibos. Earthbound is my all-time favorite game, and I'd love to be able to relive that magic all over again. I was also sad to see Soul Calibur 6 did not include a Switch release. Hopefully that changes. I'd also love a good new Tony Hawk game. I loved those in the N64 GameCube era. And I, too, would like Super Mario Maker on Switch, this time with improved online functionality and level sharing. Being able to post videos of you playing levels directly from the Switch to YouTube would be great. I'd also love to see video playback of people playing my levels somehow. Also, a Builder Mario amiibo.
I agree with all of these things.
Yes, these are some good suggestions.
Fantastic suggestions, especially Mother Trilogy, I think would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
With a scratch and sniff guidebook, that would be fantastic. I think they would have to partner with Fangamer for some of this because that's like, you know, built on the Earthbound community. That'd be fantastic to see. It'd be great to see Earthbound come back. And an official translation of Mother 3 would be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, before we get to Mother Trilogies, I think we have to convince Nintendo to finally do an official Mother 3.
Yeah.
But yeah, if they did and then they decide, let's do a trilogy and they wanted to do something like this, it would probably sell like gangbusters. I think the fans would eat that stuff up. And I have this set of Earthbound figurines that are about amiibo size and shape. And I love them. And if they did something similar that were actually official amiibo, I don't know how they actually work with the games. I suppose they probably wouldn't unless it was some sort of bonus content thing. Mm-hmm. But that would be fantastic. And I love the idea of a Builder Mario amiibo as well. I think I might have talked about that on a previous episode, but I love that look for him. And I would totally be in for a Mario amiibo wearing the hard hat and the yellow and red outfit.
Yeah, me too. I agree about Soul Calibur 6. My stance is just, I want to see everything on Switch.
Yeah.
Anything that's announced for PS4 and Xbox One, I also want to see on Switch.
Yeah, pretty much. Although I kind of feel like, Tony Hawk may have run his course. Maybe it's time for a new celebrity. He's not really doing a whole lot in the world of skateboarding anymore, so maybe we can get a different licensee. But certainly, there's room for that kind of game, and I'm surprised no one else has sort of risen up to pick up the torch and carry that on with modern hardware. But as for Mario Maker, I don't want a port of Super Mario Maker. I want to see, a brand new game. I want to see a full-on sequel with, new features and new content and slopes and new looks for the graphics and other new stuff as well. I would love to be able to, still access the old levels from the Wii U and, heck, even somehow get the 3DS levels on there as well. But if it were just a pure straight-up port, more or less, I think I'd probably be a little bit disappointed.
I'll take a port. I'll take a straight up port. But like you, I think it'd be fantastic if they added a bunch of stuff. I'd love to see Super Mario Brothers 2 or Super Mario USA somehow added to this. Where
that'd be a little bit tricky, yeah.
Use that rule set. It would be fantastic because I've always wanted a sequel to Super Mario Brothers 2. It's one of my favorite games from growing up back on the NES. And it'd be fantastic to see Wart again because...
Yes, it would be.
He was a great final boss.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see that too. I think that one's kind of a long shot since it's so different from the other Mario stuff. And it almost feels like, Nintendo's kind of pretending that game never happened in a way.
True.
But I would love it personally, because I also thought it was a fantastic game on the NES. So, yeah, it would be great to have that, as well as, you know, any other sort of Mario goodness they could whip up. There's definitely room for more Mario Maker, in my opinion.
Definitely.
Thanks, Chad. Those are some great suggestions, and thanks to everyone else who wrote in as well. We're always glad to get your tweets and emails. And with that said, it is time to close up the mailbag, and I guess it's time to wrap up this week's episode.
All right.
Although, before we go, I do believe we have time for one more thing, and that would be a dramatic reading. This time it comes from the pages of Nintendo Power Volume 1. It is a preview of the NES game Rambo. Here's a video game based on the all-time movie hit Rambo, and it's just as fast and action-packed in the video game version. The story goes that the combat-hardened Rambo, a Green Beret and hero of the Vietnam War, returns to Vietnam to rescue his buddies who were captured and are still held in the jungles of Nam. In the rainforest, against the worst that nature and war can dish out, you search for the POWs that were left behind. The odds seem insurmountable, but you make it. You pull off a successful rescue mission and make it back to the extraction point at the precise moment you are supposed to meet the chopper. But Murdoch, a paper-pushing senior officer with no combat experience, won't let Rambo board the helicopter. After 36 hours of reconnaissance and rescue, the true mission begins. Yep.
The very matter-of-fact write-up.
That's what you get.
Uh-huh.
That's what you get in that first issue of Nintendo Power. Preview for Rambo.
I remember that being not a very good game, too. But it was one of those games that everybody knew, and I had friends that had Rambo, and I never thought it was a good game.
Yeah, I never owned it. I don't think any of my friends owned it. I'm sure I played it somewhere, but I don't really remember where. But when you think about it, it's just so funny that they had so many of these NES games that were based on R-rated movies.
Yeah.
Like Rambo, and like how inappropriate was Platoon
to be
turned into an NES game.
Yeah.
But
wasn't there a Total Recall game too?
Oh, yes. Yes, there was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another R-rated movie.
Although in that one's defense, I mean, it was a terrible game, but at least that material sort of was a little more video game friendly than
that's true.
Hardcore, Vietnam War stuff.
Very true. I can't wait for the Rush in Attack movie. Right? Is that going to happen?
Sure. Why not? It'll be out in the theaters right after the Metal Gear Solid and Metroid movies.
Yeah.
All right, well, that does it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at powerprospod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at Chris The Hoff, and you can find CJ at SuperPack, with a C. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com, and if you like the podcast, it would be great if you told your friends about us. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Chris Johnston.
Play it loud.
And our good friend, the Inkling Boy, we will see you next time.